Hosea chapter 7. When I would heal Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim is uncovered, also the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief enters in, and the gang of robbers ravages outside. So God wanted to heal Israel. He so wanted them to be restored to him, but he saw their sin and that they had not repented, and this stopped it. They don't consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have engulfed them. They are ever before my face. I remember all their wickedness. Just like Gomer thought that, Hosea, well, yeah, I guess he figured what I'm doing, that I'm sleeping around with all these different men, but I don't think he takes it seriously. He's probably forgotten about it. No, Hosea hadn't forgotten about it, and neither had God. He remembered all their wickedness. Don't forget, God doesn't have a memory like we have that fades and doesn't function completely accurately, that deletes itself on different points. He's not like that. He knows every aspect and dimension of human sin and unfaithfulness. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers. They are burning like an oven that the baker stops stirring from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes made him sick with the heat of wine, so that he joined his hand with mockers. For they have prepared their heart like an oven while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all the night. In the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and devour their judges. All their kings have fallen. There is no one among them who calls to me. I think all these figures are talking about people who are absolutely obsessed with sin, that they are burning and burning like an oven. They are drunk. They cannot stop. And yet God is saying, I can intervene. Now, when you meet people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol, you sometimes think, well, how on earth can they change? But they can, only really if God intervenes in their heart, in their thought process. And this is what God is willing to do with us. He's willing to intervene, to come right into our lives and to change our way of thinking, to give us his spirit, his mind. Ephraim mixes himself among the nations, just as Gomer went out there sleeping with all these different men. Strangers have devoured his strength and he doesn't realize it. Indeed, grey hairs are here and there on him and he doesn't realize it. They didn't have the ability to look in the mirror and see, hey, I've got grey hairs here and there. And it was the same with Gomer. She was, as it were, drunk. She was going on as if she was sleepwalking. And this is how people are. They're not in touch with real spiritual reality. That sin hurts God. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to Yahweh their God nor seek him for all this. So it is pride that stops people returning or repenting. And to God, humility is so important. And it's pride, as I say, that stops our repentance. Ephraim is like an easily deceived dove without understanding. They call to Egypt, they hop to Assyria. When they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like the birds of the sky. I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. So they were going to Egypt, then they wanted help from Assyria, then they wanted help from Egypt. This is just like Gomer, going to this lover, to that lover. Rather than being focused solely upon her marriage to Hosea. And so that is how it is when people are not totally devoted to God. But the tragedy is that these people were, at least in one sense, in relationship with God. They were God's people, just as Gomer was Hosea's wife. Now we are the bride of Christ. We are him, his woman. And it's for us to be completely focused upon him and not to go hopping off here and there hoping we're going to get a better deal with this idol or that lover or whoever. Woe to them, for they have wandered from me. Destruction to them, for they have trespassed against me. Though I would redeem them, yet they have spoken lies against me. This is the whole thing with Hosea and Gomer. He wanted to save the marriage. He wanted to save her. But she lied. Where were you last night? Where are you going? Oh, well, I'm here. I'm there. And she was out with some other guy. They haven't cried to me with their heart, but they howl on their beds. In other words, they make a fuss like they're praying and worshipping God, but not from their heart. They assemble themselves for grain and new wine, for the blessings of the covenant, like Gomer wanted to have her grain and new wine provided by Hosea, but they turn away from me. She took the blessings and turned away from him. Though I have taught and strengthened their arms, yet they plot evil against me. He's saying that it's like a little child who you teach to walk, take them by their arms and teach them to toddle on their feet for the first time. And God had done that to his people, but they plotted evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a faulty bow. Their princes will fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This will be their derision in the land of Egypt. So he intends to send them back to Egypt, just like Hosea intended to finish and quit with Gomer. But in fact, later on, we're going to read in Hosea that God would not send them back to Egypt. So God is torn. He's so hurt by them, he wants to punish them, just as Hosea felt to Gomer. But love triumphed in the end. He keeps in with Israel because he loves them. And it's this same God with this same love who so loves us.